Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI.
Tuning in to live radio blog talk broadcast of The Word is Right in conjunction with Past Generation Lost in the Mix Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, a member of the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry Church of God in Christ, with District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II, is the founder and Pastor. Top of the evening to you. I know many of you are on your way home, and you are leading towards Friday. Guess what, y'all? Yeah, we won the Cosmo Babies. We won, and I'm so proud of my Chicago Cubs. You know what? I am officially adopting the coach for the Chicago Cubs as my Cub Daddy. He is so cute. I'm like, oh my goodness, he is just such, I mean, I know he has some children that love him, but guess what? You got some others who want to be a part of his life as well. So come, Cubs, that's our daddy. Yes, yes, yes. Before I get into my topic on this evening, I would like for you all to pray for the Sanders family. My Uncle Ben, my father-in-law's brother, Bishop Benjamin Sanders, out of Gary, Indiana, his daughter Ruthie, she lost her husband on this morning. So we want to pray for Ruthie Sanders Sutton. Her husband, Carl Sutton, I met him a couple of times, and he was a very nice man, very nice, sweetly saved, loving husband, true man of God, loving father. This has been a rough time for the Sanders family because, as many of you all know, W.R. Sanders, he passed away just a couple of months ago, and then last year was Burt Sanders, and then few years later, you know, previous years, Ruthie, and then the older sister, and then, of course, Uncle Ben's son. There's only one son and three daughters left. Aquila, Benita, and Ruthie are left. And Bernie is the only son that's left. We got to keep this is what I mean by we don't have foolishness to be dealing with, y'all, because life is just too short. It's just ecstatically too short. So continue to keep my family, extended family in prayer in the loss of Elder Carl Sutton. The topic on today, that's one reason why I got off of Facebook and I reactivated it like an idiot. What can I say? Our topic today is have leadership tried to cover up the hurt and pain of hurting people? There are so many that are in leadership status that, whether it be in the church or politics, People tend to hurt people. The church congregants follow leadership in the effort of trying to reach or seek for Jesus. But if a scandal comes out and proof is given, but in the interim, the congregants are confused. If the community leader is working within the community as an alderman or alderwoman, a congressman or a congresswoman or state senator, et cetera, the community places so much hope in leadership only to be let down. What is it for one to do in light of these circumstances? I want to go to the Bible about leadership. Let me, first of all, let's define what leadership is. Let's define what leadership is, okay? Because I think a lot of people don't understand. Everybody's not called to lead. The definition of leadership is often referred to as a position as a leader of a group, an organization, meaning you're the top dog. The time when a person holds the position of a leader, the power or ability to lead other people. There are several different ways to define leadership. But for the most part, there's a lot more to it than just that. As we look in the business sector, we look at how Webster defines leadership as the ability or the power to lead other people. But for the most part, there's a lot more to it. Ask anyone what it means to be a leader, okay? And you'll likely hear something unique every time. That's because everyone has their own idea or their own philosophy of what it is, you know. Not everybody is a boss, leads in a team the same way. Some people think that leadership means guiding others to complete a particular task. Like, I'm working on a group project with my classmates as we speak. One young lady, she spearheads and designate whatever, but then when it comes down to really working, well, it's not the way I want it. Well, see, you come together, you're a group. So you have one person that can oversee, but also designate, but also can help. So we can define all of that in many different ways. In a community, you have an alderman and a congressman, or you have a councilman. They go to community meetings, and what you do in these community meetings, you sit down and you get together to find out what could you do to build the community. What can we get rid of? What strategic management plan can we come up with in order to make things happen as far as building the community? How are we going to get the Rough Riders out? How are we going to stop crime? What is our, you know, agenda of getting the gangs out of the community? What can we do to make our community safe? How many of us can come together? So you choose someone or both them in to be able to be a council person for the community. Some areas are very good in that. Some are not. Money always seems to be the biggest promiscuous thing that goes on within leadership. Now, in the church, you have a pastor, and the pastor is one that is supposed to be summoned by God to lead God's people, because the people don't belong to you. You oversee God's people. And I think leadership don't understand that you don't own anything. You don't even own God. So when you look at it in the church, the pastor is the one that delivers the message, that prays for you, supposed to be able to guide you back in the right direction. And you're going to have some she's, as they call it, in a plural sense, that one may decide to want to turn away. But you have to guide that sheep back the best way you can. But I'm learning that for some reason, in most areas, that we have unlearned leaders that feel, well, it's my member, my. No. If I bought you a Barbie doll, I bought you a Barbie doll. But it was my Barbie doll when I bought it, but I gave it to you. So now you own the Barbie doll, so it's your Barbie doll. Follow what I'm saying? So when you look at it, you basically have to generate this idea that it's mine. If I'm the pastor, they're mine. No, they're not, because the Bible says all souls belong to God, not all souls belong to you as a pastor. So the thing about it is that a lot of leaders get misled and confused that they are not yours. You didn't birth them. You did not have consummated marriage and they just started popping out and all of a sudden they're yours. No, because they have a choice to steal or to leave you. But then when a leader gets involved, whether it be the community leader getting involved in drug deals or shady real estate deals or in a murderous deal to get money or fighting over property, title, entitlement, or leaders in the church feel that, you know, hey, I'm a pastor and I'm going to hook up with, you know, and I'm going to do what I want to do. You got to be up under me. You start getting a scandal. When the scandal come and knock on your door, all of a sudden you got memory loss. You got Alzheimer's, dementia, and everything else. So now the she's would sit there and they would read these things. They would sit up and they'll, oh, my pastor, he don't do this. Oh, my pastor, he won't do that. My pastor, oh, my pastor. Now you got a sheep that don't say God. They say pastor. They say pastor. Because there's a difference in you being a member of a church and saying, I belong to my pastor. No, I don't belong to nobody but God. That's who I belong to. So my thing is, when we get confused and things start to come up, let's look at some facts about bad leadership according to the Bible. Okay? In the book of Proverbs, you know, Proverbs is that book that will slap you all upside your head and make you think straight. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, let me share this with you. A good leader motivates, doesn't mislead, doesn't exploit. God cares about honesty in the workplace. Your business is his business. Good leaders abhor wrongdoing of all kinds. Sound leadership has a moral foundation. Good leaders cultivate honest speech. They love advisors who tell them the truth. That's one of the things that I have experienced within the past month, that my husband and I, we tend to tell the truth. But some leaders, although the Bible says that good leaders cultivate honest speech, my husband and I found out that's true. But on the flip side of that, no, they don't. We try to share information to try to help family members, and they didn't want that. They would rather take a lie and go with the lie and praise the lie, butter it up, put a diaper on it, put a baby powder on it, some blue baby magic. All they want to do all that stuff. So my whole thing is that they don't, a lie doesn't like the truth. They want a lie. So what do? You separate yourself from people that like lies all the time. You also, they love advisors to tell them the truth. That I asked the bishop that one time. And I asked the bishop, would you want your daughter allowed to tell you if she found out some stuff? He said, I need to know what's going on. I took that advice because I knew he's wise in doing it. But when I tried to exercise it with somebody that I know, they ain't want no truth. They want a lie. They want all of the junk. They want the lies. They want the lies. They won't believe no truth. So he yet told me what the Bible says, and he didn't. He did not steer me wrong. But I know that on experience note, a lot of them don't want the truth. They would rather believe a lie, and the Bible already told us that about believing a lie before you believe the truth. And an intemperate leader wreaks havoc in lives. You're smart to stay clear of someone like that. God-tempered leaders invigorate lives. They're like spring rain and sunshine. Get wisdom. It's worth more than money. Choose insight over income every time. The road of right living bypasses evil. Your step and save your life. I'm going to say that again. The road of right living bypasses evil. Watch your step and save your life. First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. And that is what I want to deal with, is the ego of a lot of leaders, whether they be in the religious world or the secular world. A lot of times, as we study in psychology and in human, you know, study in, you know, anatomy and physiology, we study the ego, okay, superego, id. And a lot of times, some men love that. I got to have my ego molded. Stroke me. I feel good. But see, it's the wrong way to feel good, because when your ego is stroked, it can overtake you. Let's look at it. I know I sound fanatical. You know, I always go to something that's really funny, but again, I make my point across. You know that. By now, you should. But look what happened to Ralph Crandon. Every time he had a big idea or got involved in something, he always, Alice, you don't support me. Alice, you don't do this. But the way that he did it was aggressive in a way that I'm the king. I'm going to knock it to the moon. He always wanted to knock it to the moon. I still ain't seen him go out the moon yet. But when you are indulging in my ego needs to be, but why do your ego? Because the Bible says pride comes for a fall. So why are we trying to make our egos feel good? I've learned about that from a wise man said a lot of bishops like their egos to be stroked. Why am I catering to your ego when it's a sin? I'm not going to do that to make you feel good. The Bible don't make you feel good. The Bible gives you scriptures that will tear your head off and tear your feet off if you let it, because it goes down. This is what about pride. Pride is a part of your ego, ugliness in the way that you do things. So then when you're out here and you feel, well, I'm a this and I'm a that, you know, case in point, for some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's me, or just maybe it's just what I think I see. But every man want to be a bishop in any denomination, or archbishop, or a supplicant bishop, or a friar, or a Franciscan. They want to be at the top. But my question is, why? Why do men need to be bishop? When I was coming up in the church, you had deacons. You had more deacons than you did elders. I mean, seriously, you had more deacons than you did ministers. Ministers were very, 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 very small. You had about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 deacons in church. And the deacons would open up the building. The deacons would take care of a lot of things. So the deacons just did so much. But by the same token, the elders and the ministers would govern around themselves around the pastor. And it makes them feel like they are somebody. So now when you get a lot of this going on, I need to be addressed as this, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the pride talking. That's the ego talking. So your whole character is focused around being popular. But then when you're caught up in a scandal, you become aggressively out of place. You know why? Because you turn around and you do what? You literally go back to sinning. You got to curse everybody out. You got to swear up and down. All of that. I'm going to get that nickel. I'm going to get that nickel. That's all I ever hear these men talk. It's like, wow, really? That's all you're talking about? Why you want to get somebody? Because, see, old school gangsters turn around, and they literally will do what needs to be done. And so from that point on, when you're dealing with that type of behavior from a leader, you literally are getting a leader that has an attitude. Now let's go back to the reading. It's better to live humbly among the poor than to live it up among the rich and famous. Because a lot of times, you know, I was looking at this movie called Out of Sea, with Walter Matthau in it. He is so funny, you know, rest his soul. Him and the other guy that played, and they were two men, both of them, you know, widows, and then brother-in-laws, and they went on this cruise ship to do you know, to do some work. And guess what they were doing? They were escort dancers. And they were not escort dancers, you know, for no porn. They was escort dancers for the guests. So the women that were there, they wanted to have a little ballroom dance, you know, a little cha-cha, things like that. And his eyeball caught the lady. And he, and the thing about it, he worked 48 years as a store clerk. 48 years. And he retired. So he met a woman that's actually an author, an owner of a Doubleday book company, and she fell in love with him. But she assumed he was a doctor. She didn't, you know, he said, no, you assume. I never told you I was that. But she fell in love with him being the man that he was. Now, on the other hand, Walter Matthau, goofy, you know, kind of goofy. And what he was doing, he was trying to win the affection of this younger lady. No, not too young. She was in her 20s or 30s. You can say she's about maybe in her late 40s or 50s. But he fell in love with her. But see, there was this little saying that his friend told him. He said, two gold diggers lose both ways. But they fell in love. So these men were leaders. You know, they were leaders in their own little way. But when you get to the point as a leader that your mindset, your attitude, your disposition becomes so powerful that it makes you look ugly. And that's what's happening right now. Somebody has sent me an email regarding the situation. I'm not going to even get into it. But my thing is, as a leader, no leader has a right, even in the community, as well as no alderman have a right to mess with anybody, young girls or nothing. No alderman have a right to do that. Because if you do, you're looking at jail time and probably getting sued. Because if you have problems of being a leader and your flesh is taking you out of the content of what your position is, as a person, then you may not need to be that leader. You may need to go find something else to do that can probably, you know, get your boat flowing. But when you are in the community as a leader, there is a standard that you should follow, okay? We shouldn't be crazy and willy-nilly all over the place. Now, when that part says it's better to live humbly among the poor than live it up with among the rich and the famous, because the rich and the famous tend to be arrogant. And we find it often in the church. In the church where we go to all of our conventions, our convocations, our conferences, our whatever we got going on. And everybody want to hang with the big boys. Well, no, it ain't always good to hang with the big boys. Because there is a spirit that comes along with that territory that you are not prepared for or to even accept. Now, let's go further down in Proverbs. Because a lot of leaders, especially in the church, they feel, I'm a bishop, I'm a pastor, I can do what I want to do. No, you literally cannot do what you want to do. You think you do what you want to do, but you can't. Because you don't own anything. You don't own anything. You barely own the place you live in. Now, for leaders that are leading God's people, let's go all the way over to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. This is where you don't want to do. For leaders to, of the people have been misled, it's not good for you to lead them, because you're going to take them down a destructive path. And that's my problem today. I have a problem with that. Because I'm seeing leaders wear all their bishop apparel and clergy attire and I'm this, I'm that. But you are nasty. You're nasty. That's what I don't understand. As if you don't know how to find help or get help. So my thing is, when you hurt these people, don't you know that you are blocking them from being with God? Don't you know that you are a stumbling block for the community, where people in the community cannot pull together because of your indecisiveness? This is where you mislead people, and you're leading them down a pathway What happened? Frank Lucas moved his whole family out of the South, brought them to New York, hired his brothers and cousins, gave them money. They were able to work, but they sold dope, and they had cleaners. They had a car garage. They had cleaners. You know, they had business running, but they was peddling drugs out there, using it as a front in order to sell dope. And what happened? Frank Lucas's brothers, according to the movie, ended up going to prison with their brother. See what I mean? Leave the pathway of destruction. So now, you look at the blind leaders of the blind. Most religious leaders are blind. If you tell them they're blind, they're going to tell you crazy. But many of them, basically, and Matthew, the 15th chapter talks about that. Jesus also charged that members of the religious establishment did not understand the scripture that was in the book of Mark, the 12th chapter, and that they were blinded guides, fools, hypocrites, misleading people in spiritual matter. In their blindness, the religious leaders of this day failed to recognize Jesus as the prophesied Messiah. And the Bible prophesies indicate that before Jesus Christ returns, modern religious leaders will make the same mistake, fail to understand the scripture, they will mislead sincere people about spiritual matters, and they will be blind to the real significance of important events that are shaping the world in which we live in. And that is what we're dealing with now. This is why we have leaders in bad positions, because a lot of these leaders were not called. They were not called to pastor, to be a bishop, to be an archbishop, to be an auxiliary bishop, to be a minister, a reverend. They were not called because they do what they want to do, and they justify how they do it because of what? It's about me. I'm the one. I'm the main one. Samuel Jackson said it so in the movie Strictly Business. He said, I'm the head nigga in charge. That's exactly what he said. I'm the boss. Yeah, I run this. I'm the big kahuna. See, that's the spirit that get into you being big-headed. Being big-headed. That's another part of being in the wrong area. So a lot of men, I'm sorry, a lot of you pastors were not called. You got into a position by default, and you lied and schemed and paid your way to get to the top. And this is what's happening right now. So now when the people get hurt, they'll defend you to the phone, coward to the end. They'll defend your wellness. But see what you did was you misled them. Let's go back to Jim Jones. I always talk about Jim Jones. I'm still upset because the dog died with Jim Jones. The dog had nothing to do with nothing. Now, I want to say this to those who are in media, particularly the professional media and those who want to be. If there's a case between a plaintiff and a respondent, would you leave other people out of stuff that don't have nothing to do with it? I'm going to be honest with you. Because what I saw with the President of the United States being pictured in a story with somebody that don't have nothing to do with it, he don't even know who the man is. But because of who the presiding bishop is, you can't link the president to the church because he's not a member of the church. He don't know what's going on. You're throwing something on him because he made a choice to put somebody in there. This is how stuff get turned around. You can't look at the president of the United States, the mayor of the state, or the governor, or anybody. Deal with the issue of the party or said parties involved, not everybody else. Mickey Mouse ain't got nothing to do with it. And Mickey Mouse might have pointed, don't mean he know what's going on. Force him to know what's going on. No, you can't do that. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. So we got to understand the difference of leadership and who is actually over the leader. Pastors, if you say God call you, then you do the scripture and you live the scripture every day of your life. You don't do what you want to do because you figure, I'm a pastor. No, you can't do what you want to do. You don't clone down anybody. You don't threaten anybody. That's not what you're to do. That's why Jesus said they were confused and blinded because they don't know the scripture. And I'm finding out that many of you all don't even read the Bible. What you do read is the title and the position and the money that it pays, but you're not reading nothing else. So understand, read the word of God. Ask God to give you a clear understanding. Go to Jesus Christ and repent and ask the Lord to help you understand it. Lord, help my unbelief. So you would know what to do. And the same with community involvement. If you want to be in the community and you know that you want to live a life, I'm doing a poll on next week. We have a councilman, and I'm working with the councilman. I'm working with him. He's young enough to be my son, but I'm working with him because I've been in this community since 2002, and I've seen what has transpired. But leaders, if you are in a community leadership position, learn how to keep your nose clean. Don't have no scandal coming up in your life. Don't associate yourself with people that have nothing but scandal drama all the time. This way people can look at you in a certain way or how you cut it off. I went over my time, and we'll be back again to talk about the same thing. But until then, you all be blessed.
I've been doing some thinking lately. And I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple things. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.